Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, spending time with the scholar and professor James Tabor. The Lost Mary is the book rediscovering the mother of Jesus. All the storytelling 2,000 years ago, we now come to the 21st century. And the discovery of ossuaries in Jerusalem. And Paul, James is set in one of the ossuaries and contemplated where he is. James, what is an ossuary and what was discovered and what do we need to know?
Well, I didn't sit in the ossuary, but I did sit in the tomb where the ossuaries were. So,
yes,
you can edit that. James has been in the tomb. Why don't you say that again? James has been in the tomb. So
James has been in the tomb with the ossuaries, where the ossuaries were found. Please continue.
So in 1980, just before Easter, interesting date, who knows how history repeats itself, a bulldozer discovered a tomb south of Jerusalem in a place called Talpiot. Anciently, it has the name Arimathea, means two hills. Joseph is apparently from that area of Arimathea, the two hills. You can see it south of Jerusalem if you stand on Mount Zion and look south. So this tomb had an interesting set of names. The Israelis who discovered it at the time just thought, well, the names are common, you know, but guess I'll give you a few of the names. Jesus, son of Joseph. Now, that would have caused some attention. And then Maria, spelled in a Latin way, Maria, not Miriam. And then a Mariamne and a Matthew and a son of Jesus. His name is Jude, son of Jesus. And there were six inscribed names. And one of them is Yose also. So those are the six. Now, Yose is a nickname used in the Gospel of Mark only. In your Bible, you'll read it as Yosis. They put an S on it. That's Greek. So let me tell you the verse. Mark 6, verse 3. You can look it up. They're talking about Mary's kids. This is in Nazareth. And they go, you know, we know Mary. Jesus is the son of Mary and his brothers, James, Yose, Simon, and Jude. We know these boys. And we know his sisters. Well, guess what? Yose is a very rare form. It's not like Yosi. Today, Yosi is just like Jim for James. But Yose is rare. It's only on one other ossuary. So it's a nickname that apparently Jesus' brother had. Plus, so we've got Jesus, we got his brother Joseph. Well, look, if Simon took over after James died, why didn't Joseph take over? He's second because he's dead. He's in the tomb. So we began to think. Now, this is all the way to the 1990s. The tomb is ignored. It's closed up. And several of us got interested in it, including James Cameron, the filmmaker, and Simca Jacobovici. He's won three Emmys for documentaries. I was the academic advisor for the film. And we said, let's go back in that tomb. Let's study this again. Let's do stats on the names. And what we found was that the individual names are somewhat common. Joseph is very common. Mary's very common. But it's not Joseph, it's Yose, the nickname. And when you do the cluster, no other tomb in Jerusalem of the 600 tombs that have been opened, And the 3,000 ossuaries are bone boxes. It depends on your size. They're the length of the femur bone and the width of the skull. So a child would have a small bone box. And they would put the body out for a year. And when the flesh and organs had decayed, they would gather the bones, put them in an ossuary, and often write the name on it. Sometimes they knew who was in each one, but it's for the family to remember. You know, this is Yeshua ben Yosef, or Bar Yosef in Aramaic. So there were 10 ossuaries. Some of them were probably wives of some of the people in the tomb, maybe an unmarried sister. You don't ever find a tomb with every ossuary label, but 6 out of 10 is a lot. However, the 10th one, we can't find anymore. It's gone. And the Israeli Antiquities Authority says that it was put out in the yard somewhere of the storage unit. It wasn't important, and it just disappeared. But in 2002, remember, 1980, the 1990s were doing our work in the year 2000. And now in 2002, another ossuary shows up that was discovered in the 1980s. And it says, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. Wow. If that is authentic, and there was a 7-year trial accusing the owner of forging brother of Jesus to make it more useful and more valuable. I know the owner well. I've talked to him many times. I emailed him today, in fact, John, because we're going to do DNA on these ossuaries. And he said, James, I didn't even know Jesus had a brother. I'm Israeli. I'm Jewish. You know, I grew up with Catholics. Right, and that's right. What I think. You know, and somebody said, well, you knew it was, he had a brother and you put that. He said, I didn't know he had a brother. I don't think he added it. Now, the trial showed that there was original patina in the letter Jesus. Patina is these little microorganisms that grow in stone. You can't fake them. Someone said you could put a mixture of this material in hot water and pour it on, and it you can easily tell with a microscope. It's all crumbled and broken. These are they're like little shells that form they're nematodes. They actually are living creatures that leave their tracks behind, and it's authentic. If it's from the Talpiot tomb, then we've discovered the Jesus family.
What's your thinking about the DNA trail, Professor?
Well, what we did so far, because we haven't been able to finish, this caused such a controversy, we backed off for a while, but we now have a program in place to do DNA testing of all of these ossuaries, as well as others like the Hashmoneans. We have several priests from the time of Jesus. We have the bones of Antigonus, who was the last Hashmonean king that Herod the Great had killed, and Mark Anthony crucified him. So DNA possibilities are amazing. Here's what we've done so far. It's limited. We've done Antigonus, but we only got his mother. To get the Y, which is the male side, is very difficult. But now we have the new sequencing DNA. The DNA we did, John, was in 2005. This is 20 years later in terms of DNA. If I hold this cup and touch it, you can get my whole genome from the fingerprint. It's unbelievable now. So this has not been done yet. And we are now in the process of gathering DNA from the James ossuary, the Jesus, the Mariamne, and so forth. So far, we just did 2, Mariamne, who we think is the mother of the child, and Jesus, because if they were brother and sister, which you can tell from the female side, the mitochondrial DNA. See, males have the Y and their mother. Females just have their mother. So if you check Mariamne and Jesus, if they're brother and sister, then obviously she can't be. He's not marrying his sister. But she's not. She's not related to him. So she could very well be the mother. We now have evidence that when you first went in the tomb, they have these niches around the tomb. They go around 2 on each side of the 3 sides. It's like a U-shape. And in the first niche, as you go in, we can now say with some confidence, it was Jesus, Mariamne, and the kid. Because the kid is small, and we have drawings of where they were. They're the only 3 that would fit there. Well, that makes sense. The family you put together, you see. Now, I want to add this. It does not disprove the resurrection of Jesus. Because people say, oh, you're just trying to find the bones of Jesus. Paul didn't care about bones. He talked about those who sleep in the dust will arise. You don't have to collect your body parts to have Christian resurrection. Christian resurrection, when you remember in 1 Corinthians 15, John, you took this in seminary. What kind of a body will it be? He said, I can't tell you what kind of a body. He's not talking about the physical body. He says there's a flesh and blood body and there's a spiritual body. So some Christians are so bent on the idea that if you found the tomb of Jesus, that would be a disaster for Christianity. I think it would be proof, actually, that the family existed, that some of these things we know are confirmed by archaeology, and you can still believe in the resurrection. That's another question entirely that science can't touch. But according to Paul, he saw Jesus. What did he see? He says, I can't tell you. But he was glorious. He was a life-giving spirit. But he doesn't say he was 5'8" and had a beard. And, you know, he doesn't describe him as a physical guy up in heaven. So many Christians believe that today, I think. They understand that. When you say it's spiritual, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means it's not resuscitating a corpse. That's what it means.
Quickly, Professor, just a detail. To have a tomb like that, does that guarantee prosperity beforehand?
Oh, I see. Like the people that owned it would. To have a cave tomb carved out of rock does mean that you're in a better class than the poor people that were put in trench graves. But around Jerusalem, you could, as a family, own land and carve your own tomb.
I see.
So you don't have to be ultimately rich. But notice, who takes care of the burial? Joseph of Arimathea. And the first tomb Jesus is put in is just near the place of crucifixion. Then he's reburied. They come and take the body and rebury it. And Joseph buries it on his own property. And very likely it could be that tomb south of Jerusalem. If you add James, I would say, you know, the names individually you can argue about. But the cluster, I can tell you this, of the 600 tombs and the 3,000 ossuaries, there's no other tomb that could even arguably be the Jesus family tomb. It's not like there are 10 other tombs that are sort of like this. You'll hear that often. Oh, there are tombs all over. Yeah, there are tombs all over with a Joseph or a Jesus. There are 19 of those, 19 Jesuses. But this has all the names together. That's the difference.
We have very good evidence and more information to come, but the professor does us the favor of coming to the reasoning of the essential Jesus, the essential message that John the Baptizer had before his execution, that Jesus had, and we can presume James had. So when we come back, in the New Testament, what do we believe connects us right to the events? The Lost Mary is the book, The Historical Mary. James Tabor is the author.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group.
void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.